So, what's your job? What's your calling? Or, if you're a student, what do you want your calling to be? What do you hope to be when you grow up or finish school or whatever? And after you answer that, the next question will be, how did you choose to do what you do? And the answer that you give to that is called your call story. Maybe you didn't so much choose your career as it chose you. And that's part of your call story too. Lots of people's call stories involve the influence of someone who's very important in their lives. They tell them, you should be a whatever, or you're really good at, did you consider doing whatever? Some of you, though, may have chosen to follow in your parents' footsteps, even though that's no longer a societal expectation like it used to be. It still is a heavy influence on people's lives. Sometimes your calling might be influenced by gender expectations, or maybe by a cultural ones, or sometimes it's just because you were in a certain place at a certain time and it kind of fell into your lap. And not just your vocation in the world, the way you earn your living, sometimes in a role at church or other volunteer organization, sometimes those callings may involve some unwritten rules and expectations about who's appropriate to be in that call. Some jobs are chosen because of their place in a social hierarchy, like those jokes about the parents that want their kids to be doctors or lawyers because of the status it confers. Behind the question, what do you do, is often this mental intent to mentally compare and pigeonhole people. How important are they? Their value depending on that answer to the question, what do you do? It's what's behind the mommy wars and what's behind the dynamics in this story of Mary and Martha. This story seems to pit one woman in the kitchen and the other in the classroom against each other, and then it invites us to pit them against each other. We are blessed not to see that at Advent, where ministers of the word, like the lector who reads the scriptures, also on maybe another Sunday prepares the fellowship coffee. Both aspects of discipleship are modeled in this story are equally important, especially here at Advent, where hospitality is a primary call to ministry. Hearing God's word today, we have Abraham in that first reading. You notice Abraham as a model of over-the-top hospitality. When the Lord visits him as a trinity of men, he washes their feet and starts them on bread, and he sees to a meal of roast veal and cake for dessert. This is the Abraham that's Martha's model for hospitality too, the standard against which she judges herself. And in doing so, she makes herself anxious and stressed as she becomes distracted from being present to the company that's come in her efforts to be the hostess with the mostess. Hospitality is important work. And Jesus notably does not say that Martha's concerns are bad or that her work is wrong. But the question is, why is she doing it? She's lost sight of the purpose of hospitality, which is to be the good news of enjoying each other's presence. And we all get caught up in this too. In today's busy world, our entire culture is pushing us to do more. Pack your schedule. Multitask. It's not enough to be busy all day, every day, but you have to be doing multiple things at once. Take up new hobbies and then turn them into a side hustle. Achieve. do everything, and look perfectly Pinterest and Instagram worthy while you're doing it. Perform, perform, perform. And if you don't do everything perfectly and better than everyone else, you're a loser. Society pressures us into overfunctioning, and then we pressure others into doing things well and into sharing and into overfunctioning too, and into sharing our pain. And a lot of times we end up so focused on what society tells us we should be doing that we never take time to sit down and ask the question, what's the point? Or ask more importantly, what is God calling us to do? That's a question that we're going to be asking here at Advent at our Vision for the Year retreat next month that all of you are welcome to attend. And Jesus tells Martha, God is not calling you to overfunction or be anxious. God's calling you to an abundant life in which there is work to be done, but also time to rest, time to worship, time to study, time to have a balanced and holistic life full of shalom, peace. And that's good news. Worrying about meeting the expectations of others, worrying about incurring their judgment, those things are not good news. Hospitality is important, but it's not an end in itself, but rather it's a vehicle for receiving the good news of the presence of one's guests. The important point of the story of Abraham is not the hospitality, but the promise of the son that came through listening to his guest. The story of Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha, while it's a little vignette in human family dynamics, make her do something, make her do this. It's not meant as a critique of different forms of discipleship. Both sisters show Jesus forms of word and service, if you go through the whole biblical record of them. There's another visit in the Bible where Mary is the one that shows the over-the-top hospitality, washing Jesus' feet. In today's story, when Jesus comes to her home, she drops everything to go sit and listen to him teach. All of you who contribute to worship and education here at Advent are imitating Mary in that story. Yet when Jesus comes for dinner in her home on another day, Mary gets out her best and most expensive perfume to wash his feet in hospitality like Abraham's. And then there's the ministry of her sister Martha. When Jesus and his entourage of disciples come to her house in today's story, she's the hospitality team, preparing the home and the meals for the guests and serving them. All of you who show hospitality, who help with the preparations of space and food, who serve in welcoming and made sure that the AC was running today, you are all channeling Martha in that story. Yet, it is Martha who, in another story, when Jesus comes to her home when her brother died, she's the one who, when Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, do you believe this? She's the one who confessed, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. The church celebrates in its calendar a feast called the Confession of St. Peter, when Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what? I was thinking, it's an oversight that there's no day for the confession of St. Martha. She and Mary are graduate students of theology among Jesus' disciples. They were clearly disciples who knew why they did what they did. Jesus' words to Mary and Martha tell us that important as hospitality to each other is, as important as hospitality to the stranger is, the most important hospitality is the hospitality that God shows to us. Here in God's house, we are the guests, and God has set a feast. Jesus' words to Martha are not a rebuke, but an invitation to be refreshed and renewed by God's word of grace and mercy, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.